This week's Parsha is Parshas Devarim. It's also known as the Shabbos Chazon, the Shabbos of the vision. It's the Shabbos that precedes Tisha B'Av, which is the saddest day on the Jewish calendar, the day that commemorates the destruction of the two temples and other horrible things that happened in history. And the first negative thing, the first horrible thing that occurred on Tisha B'Av, on the 9th of Av, was the sin of the spies. The spies were sent by Moses, by Moshe, to look at the land of Israel. The 12 princes, one from each tribe, the elite of the Jewish people. They spent 40 days in the land, came back, and delivered a negative report. 10 out of the 12 spies delivered a negative report. Kaleb and Joshua were on the other side. They gave a positive report. But it was the 10 that gave over this negative report that swayed the Jewish people. And it was on that night that the Jewish people cried for really no reason. And for that, Hashem said, because you cried for no reason, I'll give you a reason to cry. And so subsequently, years and years later, both temples were destroyed on the same day, the 9th of Av. So on Shabbos Chazon, on the parsha when we read Devarim, it actually brings, Moshe is beginning 36 days of recounting and messaging to the Jewish people. And in this parsha, he talks about the sin of the spies. Nothing's coincidental. We, as tradition has it, every year before Tisha B'Av, we read this parsha, Parshas Devarim, which recounts, one of the things it recounts is the sin of the spies. One of the things that popped out when I was looking at the parsha, I noticed something. It was so jarring, and it really made me take pause. Was the fact that it said in the context of describing the sin of the spies, it says like this: "But you did not wish to ascend, and you rebelled against the word of Hashem your God. You slandered in your tents and said, because of Hashem's hatred for us, did he take us out of the land of Egypt, to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us." So the Jewish people's reaction to the negative report was to say, their conclusion was that because God hates us, which, if we take a step back and we think about what occurred before this, we're talking about the generation that was able to witness the 10 plagues, witnessed the miracle of the splitting of the sea, experienced the revelation at Sinai. And then they could say something as crazy as that it's because God hated them. So when it comes to Tisha B'Av, this is, again, we're leading up to Tisha B'Av. It is the time, or the mitzvah of the day is Avelut, is mourning. What is the mitzvah of Avelut? What does it mean to be an Avel? Or what does it mean when Chazal use the word Aval, however or but, it is understood as the truth is. When a person is in a place of Avelut, it brings us to a place where we have to see things with clarity. When we come in context of loss, of someone dying, it gives us a certain clarity. It leads us to the truth. The reason that the second temple was destroyed was because of baseless hatred. The mistake that's made conventionally is that people understand that what it means, or what they think it means, that baseless hatred is that they hated for no reason. But that's not what it means. The Gemara in Gittin, in HaNezikin is the parak, is the chapter that it's in, the famous story of Kamsa bar Kamsa is told over. And this Gemara is the context of where people mistake the understanding of what it means, sinas chinam, baseless hatred. Rav Yochanan explained, based on the pasuk, he says, "Ashrei adam mefache tamid umaksha libo yipol bara." Fortunate is the man that always fears or is never comfortable, and that he hardens his heart, and he that hardens his heart will come to harm. Umaksha libo yipol b'ra. But if he hardens his heart, he'll fall into harm. And then on that, he introduces the story of Kamsa bar Kamsa. So what is the story? It's a famous story of someone who accidentally invited his enemy to his party and then kicked out that person. And it was a very nasty event. And because of that, this person who was slighted went and told on the Jews, and it led to the destruction of the temple. So we take that as a case of baseless hatred. That's how people read the story. But that's not how the story goes. And that's not what Rav Yochanan is telling us. What's the story? How does it continue? It ends up that this person who was slighted goes and sets up the Jewish people. And he sends a sacrifice that he knows will not be accepted. And that therefore the Caesar will take it as a slight and come and destroy the Jewish people. So it's a setup. So Rav Zechariah ben Avkulos basically tells them that they cannot sacrifice this animal because of its blemishes. And they say to him, but if we don't, we're slighting the Caesar and the temple will be destroyed. And so the conclusion that Rav Yochanan says, it's because of Rav Zechariah ben Avkulos' misplaced concern or tolerance that led to the destruction of the temple. So most people focus on the story of the hatred that it went between these two people, Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. But Rav Yochanan, who starts out and tells us, fortunate is the one who is mefached tamid, who's always is concerned, or is mefached, is aware, that is the person who will be okay. Meaning what? If the person loses context of what's the bigger picture, they lose sight of what's important. This person was so busy, Rav Zechariah ben Avkulos was so concerned about the details at that moment that he assumed something, and that is that the temple would never be destroyed. But it's because of his concern for the local and not willing to see the bigger picture that led ultimately to the destruction. And so you can see the consistency in this type of idea, because the next story that the Talmud tells us is similar, that there was a custom. This is, I'm skipping to the third case. There was a custom that when a boy was born, they would plant a tree. And when the girl was born, they'd plant a tree. And the idea was that it would grow, and that by the time that the boy and the girl were married, they would cut these trees down and they would use the wood to build their chuppah, their wedding canopy. There was a story where the Romans came and they needed wood, and they knocked down trees that were set aside for a young couple. And they ended up that the people were so upset about it that they attacked the Romans. So instead of realizing that this was, okay, it's a very nice tradition, but you're going to risk the entire Jewish people's future because of some, you know, basically a nice custom. And that's exactly what happened. Because they rebelled there, because of this, they cut down these trees, it ended up that the entire city was destroyed. So these are examples of cases of where we fall into this trap of not seeing the bigger picture, or seeing things for what they are, getting lost in smallness and not seeing the bigger picture and seeing the truth. And comes a Tisha B'Av, and it tells us that it's Avelut, to think that the Jewish people, after they were taken and experienced all these incredible miracles, could say that God took us out because he hated us, because they convinced themselves that he was going to somehow lead them into this terrible fate of being destroyed when they came into the land of Israel? After everything that they experienced, how off that was, how they could convince themselves that God hated them after everything, after all those incredible events, it's hard to imagine. But we see that historically, we fall into this smallness. We fall into these traps. Sinas chinam is the chinam. It's the baselessness of these things that's the issue. It's not the hatred as much as the baselessness that's the issue. When we lose touch and we create realities of things that are not the lack of truth, we get lost so many times and we make that which is the secondary thing into the major thing. That's our problem. And we see that that's exactly the message, if we read the Haftarah, which comes from the first chapter, from the first parak of Yeshayahu, from Isaiah, at the end of the reading that we make, that we do on Shabbos, it says that God will restore your judges as at first and your counselors as at the beginning. After that, you will be called City of Righteousness, Faithful City. Zion will be redeemed through justice. Sion b'mishpat tipadeh, b'shaveha b'tzdaka, and those who return to her through righteousness, through mishpat, through the idea of justice. If, when we get to the ability to be able to see things properly, with right, then Jerusalem, then Sion will be redeemed. And so every year that the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt, it's because we have not corrected the problem that exists. And we see this, we constantly get lost in prioritizing things incorrectly. Just to bring it as an example of recently and everything that we've gone that's gone on, one of the stories that stuck out was someone telling me about the fact that they went to this very small wedding and they were struck by how in the past you had all these incredibly lavish weddings. And here you have this wedding, there were maybe 15 people that were able to go, and it was the most beautiful wedding that he had ever experienced. And said, the takeaway, this is what a wedding should be. The focus on the chasen and the kalon, on the bride and the groom, to make them happy, to bring them joy, and that it's all about them and not the people who are coming, but rather to make sure that they are the ones who are given the joy and the rejoicing is focused on them. And that we sometimes, or many times, we lose the focus on what's important. And so as we come to Tisha B'Av, the mitzvah is avelut. It's the mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to be in mourning. But mourning for what purpose? To be able to get our priorities back on track, to see things in a way that we remember what's most important, to get our priorities aligned and correct. And with that, we should be zocha, we should be blessed to be able to see the redemption and the rebuilding of Jerusalem, not in, especially now, to be able to see the complete redemption of the land and the Jewish people. And we'll be blessed to be able to rejoice together in the land and in the streets of Jerusalem and Yerushalayim.